Welcome to Chapel of Joy Prayer Network. We hope that the following message would edify and encourage you today. Now let's welcome Apostle Dr. Benny King and Reverend Mrs. Stella King.
I want to share with us on an important subject. Breaking financial stress. Say breaking financial stress. I've discovered that one of the greatest worries that afflict people on earth is money worries. Look at your neighbor, say, so true. I found that no matter how spiritual you are, you will always need money somehow, someday, somewhere. And Jesus warned us and said, we should never allow money worries to overtake us as God's people. If you read the scripture and the story of Jesus, you found that he never lived like he was worried about money, about anything. He lived above his circumstances. He was able to operate against the current that took other people down. And as a follower of Christ, a believer in Christ, it is the will of God that he takes care of you and me. The word of God said, my God shall supply how many of our needs? Say all. And that includes money. Every need God will supply. And if you understand that God will supply, then you don't have to worry about it. Look at your neighbor and say, if God is handling it for you, why are you worrying about it? Say, if God is handling your business, why are you worrying about it? Anytime you worry, you're saying that God is not in charge. Look at your neighbor and say, anytime you worry, you're saying that God is not in charge. And who is in charge? You. And you're making a mess of it. That's why you're worrying about it. Because if you're making a meal of it, you'll be happy about it. Does that make sense? Whenever control lifts the hand of God to your hand, you will always worry because you know you don't control everything. But when it is in the hands of God, he knows how to control everything. Even the heart of kings are in the hand of God. God can turn the boss mind to favor you. God can make people who hate you to do what he wants them to do for you. Lift up your hand and say, this month, even those who hate me will serve God's purpose for my life, whether they like it or not. If you believe it, shout hallelujah. It's important for us to know that Jesus never underscored the need for our finances, our need for finances. He never looked at it as something unimportant. But he said we shouldn't chase after it. He said we should seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things will be added to us. He didn't say they are not important. If you read the book of Matthew, let's look at that, Matthew chapter 6, and we read from verse 25 quickly. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Verse 26 says, quickly, verse 26, let's go forward. It says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? This is our Lord talking. Verse 27 quickly. Verse 27 says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28 says, and why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the valley, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29 says, and yet I say unto you that Even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30 says, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Let's go. Verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? He said we shouldn't worry about that. He didn't say you shouldn't think about it in terms of I will eat bread this morning, I will do this. He said don't worry about it. That's what he means. Now let's go verse 32 says, let's read together. For after all these things do the Gentile, do everybody else apart from you. Everybody else that doesn't know God, after all these things, they seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of. He said that God knows you have need of all these things. So those of you that are singing songs, Satan, take the whole world, take the money, and give me Jesus. Wrong, wrong, wrong. Are you listening to me? God said he knows that you need it. The earth and the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to the devil. Don't give away your blessing to the devil because you're being religious. That's not wisdom. Never say money is not important. It is important because if it's not important, God wouldn't have said he knows that you need it. Your heavenly Father knows that. I know maybe earthly father may not know that, but he said my heavenly Father knows that. When my father, my mother forsook me, God took me up. Look at your neighbor and say, God knows that you need money. So stop acting funny. God knows you need it. God knows you need it. And look at your neighbor and say, I sure do need some. Amen. Praise God. Everybody needs money. Everybody. Everybody. Including those going to heaven. Say, include those going to heaven. Say they need it. It's when you don't realize that you don't need it, you live like a pauper on earth. You live a wretched life. You become a prisoner where you ought to have been a prince. You become enslaved where you ought to be a master of your situation and circumstances. And that's what Solomon saw. He said he saw a wonder. How servants were riding horses and sons were walking on foot because they lacked what is necessary, the necessary know-how. Look at your neighbor and say, God knows your need. He knows everything you need. If you need a house, say, I need a house. If you need a wife, say, I need a wife. Stop casting out devils. And say, God, deliver me. I'm thinking about wife. I'm being tempted. No. God is saying you need to get married. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. So we're seeing here, he says he knows that we have need of all these things. And let's read verse 33. Verse 33, but seek ye first. He said, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Say order. Say priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then what's going to happen? All these things will be added unto you. You see, the reason, one of the reasons we get into unnecessary financial stress is because we've misplaced our priorities. Look at your notes, say, misplacement of priorities can cause unnecessary financial stress. If you use your money to do what you're not supposed to do with it, you're going to have stress. How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you don't do with your money what you're supposed to do with it, you may have it, but you're not doing with it what you're supposed to do with it. You're going to still have stress. How many of you know that $1 million is useless to you until you put it to use? How many of you know what I'm talking about? So either way, there was a story of a woman that died poor and hungry. And when they removed the her picture on the wall, They found what was written, a will that was written, that she was worth millions of dollars. That thing was placed behind her picture in the wall. She left the picture as a decoration. And she died a poor person, wretched. And yet, behind that picture, behind her image, behind her picture, is something better than the future she has been looking at and which she lived. Child of God, look at you and say, behind the scene, Christ has done something that is necessary to ensure that you live this life and be happy through it. Bible says, I've come that you might have life and have it what? More abundantly. If you read, let's look at book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 8 and 9. Look. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 and 9. Let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians. Let's read it. It says, look at what it says. Let's read together. And God is what? Able. Say, God is able. Say, God is able. Look at your name and say, God is able. Even when you are not able, God is able. Even when you are unable, God is able. Because that's many times we limit God by our own limitation. The fact that you can't do it, the fact that you are not qualified for it, or you don't have the money for it, God is able. Say, God is able. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God is able to provide for you. And how does he do it? By his own grace. Say grace. He will make the grace available, and suddenly things are happening. Not by your own design, but by divine design. Hallelujah. I declare from today, somebody's signing off from frustration and say, I want the grace of God in my life. I want the grace to win this race. I want the grace to do beyond my wildest dream. The grace to do what I never thought I could do. The grace to do the impossible. Child of God, the word of God said that faith works with grace. Bible says it is of faith so that it will be by grace. God is only calling you to believe him. Look at you and say, all that God wants from you is to believe him. Because if you don't believe him, you are not going to receive from him. Look at you and say, except you believe God, you can't receive from God. You can only receive to the level to which you can believe. Bible says, what things soever you desire, believe that you receive. Then you're going to have. So as much as you can believe is what is going to determine how much you can receive. And many times people knock down each other over what they believe. And they fight down each other. Say, why are you believing for that? You know, and say, well, you shouldn't be believing for that. You can't afford that. You can't do that. You can't. It's not your business. You ought to. Don't limit people by your own limitation. Limited belief system. You must understand that it is by faith so that it will be by grace. And God is able to make all grace. Say, all grace. All grace to abound. The reason I'm saying that, there are some people right now that are at a crossroad. You don't know what to do next. You don't know how to pay for that bill. You don't know what to do about that financial situation. And by your own finite mind, limited belief system, you are about to throw in the towel. God has sent me to tell you, don't throw in the towel. I'm able to make my grace to abound towards you so that the supply will come in a way you never imagined. How many of you are believing God for the impossible here today? Say, God, make it happen. Make it happen in my life to the glory of your name. I remember I spoke to the church yesterday when we were praying about four lepers that were living in a time of austerity, time of difficulty, and they were already out of the country because they were lepers, and the country had been invaded by the enemy, you know, the Syrians, and people were dying in poverty. And these lepers were out there in the outskirts of the city. And they said, if we go back to this country, we're going to be in trouble because they don't have food to eat there. They're going to be in trouble. He said, if we stay here, we're going to die of hunger. What do we do? He said, we must go forward. Look at your neighbor. Say, no matter what the devil has said to you, this month God is moving you forward. Hallelujah. He's moving your business forward. If you're not one, say, I receive it. He's moving your family forward. If you're the one, I receive it. No matter what has happened to you before now, God said, I'm going to go move you beyond that. I'm going before you. I'm going to lead you beyond that. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah. Say, Lord, I receive the grace to win this race. Shout hallelujah. Glory to God. Now watch this. Those lepers began to go forward. They started going forward. As they were going forward, something happened. They were on four horses. The footsteps of the horses, the enemy in camp, the Syrians began to say, wait a minute. The soldiers from Israel, they are coming to attack us. So God magnified the noise of those four horses. It was as though many soldiers were coming. And before you knew it, those army that came to attack Israel, they ran and left all the food, all the blessing, all the money. They left it and ran. So when the lepers got there, they found no enemy. They found no enemy. Look at your neighbor, say, whatever is stopping you, whatever enemy is stopping you, God is going to move them out of your way. Lift up your hand and say, God, make it happen in my life. Now, whatever want to stop my prophetic testimony this month, move them out of the way. Say, God, enlarge my step. Lord, magnify my efforts. The little thing I do, let your hand be upon it and begin to move mightily that the enemy will run for cover. The enemy sitting on your finances, I command them displaced. The enemy sitting on your prophetic progress, I command them displaced. I declare from today, nothing is going to stop you. Nothing is going to stop you. You're going to move forward. You're not going to stay in that situation and continue to complain. You're moving forward. Say, God, I'm moving forward with you. I wanted to say this. They got there and found blessings that have been abandoned. That means that there are some blessings in your future you don't know anything about. You don't know nothing about it, but God knows about it. The God who knows you have need has already taken care of that need. Lift up your hands and say, Lord, I thank you for taking care of business. There are people God has already prepared to help you. There are places God has already prepared for you to be in. I mean the house you're going to live in, you don't even know anything about it. God has already prepared it. Say, God, make it happen. The wife you will marry, the children that are on the way, you don't even know about it. Some blessing he want to bring even in your present relationship, your marriage, you don't even know anything about it. I see God turning things around for your favor. I see God turning things around for your favor. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout glory. Glory. Say, God, make it happen. By your grace, in the name of Jesus. It is by grace, child of God. It's not by your own physical ability. It's not by your limited mind. Because if everything is reserved for you, you will muddle it up. You will mess it up. God said, I'm taking care of you. He said, casting all your cares upon him. How many of your cares? He didn't say, care for a few and give me the rest. No. All your cares. Say, all my cares. Say, Father, I surrender all my cares to you. From today, begin to do a new thing in my life. Child of God, those lepers that landed into blessing, I declare that you are going to land into supernatural blessing. I see God moving into supernatural discovery. Say, supernatural discovery. Something that will wipe out that tear. Something that will make mockery of those that have been laughing at you. Something that will make you laugh. have the last laugh. Something that will lift you up above the mountain that's been blocking your view. Say, Lord, make it happen. Make it happen. By your grace. In the name of Jesus. It's important for you to know this. When they got there, they said, they began to eat. They began to eat. Look at your neighbor and said, the greatest problem man faces is not the devil, but his selfishness. Because everybody without God is self-serving. You always want yourself. How many of you have ever looked at a group picture? Group picture you took. And when you look at the picture, whom are you looking for? Yourself. Even if you're hiding at the back, you're looking at the back. You don't care about the pretty face that is in front. You're looking at where you are hiding at the back, behind two ugly people. And you don't care. You always want to take care of yourself. But I want you to know that when God starts dealing with you, you start realizing there's something more than self. Your life is going to be a testimony for others. I say your life will be a testimony for somebody else. Lift up your hand and say, Lord, make my life a testimony. Make my life a testimony. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said we are the light of the world. There's something about light. Light doesn't shine for itself. It shines for others. It shines for others, for those that are in darkness, to see the light. I declare that your life will bless somebody. I say my life will bless somebody this month. Say my life will bless somebody. My testimony will bless somebody. My testimony will turn somebody to Christ. Shout hallelujah. That's what happened to those lepers. They said, we are going to testify. We can't stay here eating and eating. We can't eat all this. He said, the reason for selfishness is insufficiency. Look at you and say, the reason for selfishness is insufficiency. If you have more than enough, you wouldn't have problem about sharing. We thank God for the anointing. The Bible says he will anoint your head, and what's going to happen to your cup? It will run over. Say, Lord, let your overflow be my testimony this month. Let your overflow, be my testimony. I walked into my office yesterday, and I looked at the sign. It was looking good. I said, this sign looks good. But when I looked at the staff, told me, well, there's nobody. All the people that made appointment have canceled, so there's nothing happening. Actually, we would have told you not to show up. So I just ignored it. I ignored what they said. When I went out, I looked at the sign. It was looking good. I said, Lord, thank you for this sign. Let people see this sign and be drawn to this place. I began to say, Lord, bless me. Let me have an overflow. I just said that and walked into the place. Before I knew it, these people started disturbing me. I was so busy that I was almost complaining now. I said, God will bless you so much. She will say, God, is it only me? Why me? Why me? You will be so blessed that stinginess will be out of your life. Say, God, bless me to embarrass every stinginess. Wow. It is by grace. It is through faith, so that it will be by grace. Now watch this. Those lepers went to the city and started telling others. They told the king. They said, look, we've discovered something here. And that's how the king told others, come, let we go and eat. Now I'm going to tell you something. That story is so interesting. It came by prophetic word. Because the man of God prophesied that by this time tomorrow, people are going to have more than enough. People are going to be blessed. And the minister of finance in that nation were laughing at the prophet and told the prophet, forget it. Even if God will open windows of heaven, how can it happen within 24 hours? And do you know that it happened? People were rushing for food, for blessing, including the minister. And the minister got trampled on foot. And he died. He died. That's why never you speak against the blessing God is bringing to your life. Say, never you speak against the blessing because of your ignorance. Never you say, oh, this house is too good for me, when God said, I can bless you with it. Never you say this husband is too handsome for me. Amen. Imagine what would have happened if my wife had said this husband too handsome for me. She's a faith woman. Amen. She likes the best. Amen. Glory to God. You better start believing God for what he can do. God is able. Say, God is able. God is able. I want you to lift up your hand right where you are. Say, Lord, these are my needs this month. And you're able to supply them. For my children, for my household, for my work with you, for my service, for my business. Open your mouth and begin to talk to him right now. Say, God, you are able. Let your grace increase in my life. I will no more talk myself out of my blessing. I will no more talk the language of the defeated. Oh, the economy is bad. Oh, everything is depressed. And that's why I'm feeling depressed. And the more you are depressed, the more you give room for to be oppressed. Say, Lord, you are able. You are able to help me. You are able to deliver me. You are turning it around for my good. I give you all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Shahallelujah. Now let me show you the keys here. What are the keys to step out of financial stress? Number one, do something. Say, do something. You're going to learn to do something. You're going to learn to do what? Do something. If you do nothing, nothing happens. If you just say nothing, even when God saw nothing, God said something to nothing, and something came out of nothing. Shahallelujah. Don't settle for nothing. Do something. Look at your neighbor and say, never settle for nothing. Do something. Say, never complain about nothing. Do something. Never complain about nothing. Do something. It's important for you to know, no matter what you do, God will bless it. He said, whatever you do, he will bless. Psalm 1, let's look at it. Psalm 1 from verse 3, from verse 1 to 3. He said, look at it, verse 3. He said, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, The problem about us, we want to do what others are doing instead of doing what God wants you to be doing. Stop looking at others. Start doing something. If it's water you're selling, start selling water. If it doubles, you know how to make. Start making doubles. And chase the devil out of your territory. Amen. Praise God. No matter what it is, do something. If it's nuts you're selling, sell nuts. Don't say, I too fine dressed to sell nuts. Child of God, I was driving on the highway. I saw somebody selling vegetable on the highway. A lady and some young men. They look clean and nice. They look good. They were selling that. And that's why people will buy from them. Amen. Look at him and say, if you are ashamed to do something, poverty will not be ashamed to visit you. Oh, poverty will never be ashamed to be your friend. Now watch this. Somebody walked into my office yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before yesterday? Walked into my office. The person looked, I thought he was coming to apply for a job. He looked good. So when he walked in, you know, he had a nice bag. He was a little bag. So I was waiting to say, yes, yes. So the staff started talking to him. And they told him, not today. He said, okay. He was so confident. So he walked away. I said, why? What is not today? He told me that he's the plum man. He sells plum. And he sells plum in all those high-end offices. So he dresses fine. Carries a nice bag. And people buy plum from him. The problem with a lot of church folks is laziness. Look at you and say, laziness is what kills. Work doesn't kill. It's laziness that kills. Do something. Bible says in book of James chapter 2 verse 22. Let's look at it. It says, James chapter 1 verse 22, sorry. James chapter 1 verse 22. He said, but be ye what? Doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. When you do nothing, you deceive yourself. When you do nothing, you deceive yourself. And now let's look at verse 25. Look as you say. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer. Say doer. Doer of the work. This man shall be blessed. Who get blessed? The doer. The doer of the work gets blessed. Not the person who complains, I have no money. Money is an idea translated into work. Look at you and say, money will come. Say, money will answer to every idea translated to work. Every time when I look at things, I see opportunity. Say, I see opportunity. I traveled to one of the nations that was one of the poorest nations of the world, and I was seeing opportunity. Even though people were poor, I was seeing opportunity. I was seeing opportunity. I was telling my wife, let's start this. She said, no, why do you want to? She was saying, look, because I was seeing opportunity. I was seeing opportunity. Child of God, when you see what you can do, God will see how he can bless you. Shout hallelujah. Oh, I don't have a job. That's why you don't have a job. You can start doing something. You can create a job for yourself. You can create your own job. What is it that you can do well? If you can wash car, you can start a car wash. Say car wash. Amen. Start it and God will bless you. If you don't do something, don't complain that God is not doing anything in your life. Very important. Very important. And now let's look at this. This is very important. Let's look at this. Book of Ecclesiastes chapter 22 verse 29. Quickly. 22 verse 29. Ecclesiastes 22, 29. Proverbs 2 verse 29. Sorry. Proverbs 22 verse 29. Proverbs 22 verse 29. Let's read together. It says, seest thou a man that is diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before men. God will cancel your name from among the needy, from among the troubled, from among the stressed, and put your name among the royals. Shall hallelujah. Now let's look at this scripture. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 11. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 11. Look at your neighbor, say, if you want to remove financial stress from your life, start doing something. It's a wealth gotten by vanity shall be what? Diminished. But he that gathereth by labor shall be increased. So what does it mean? It means that if you continue to wait for handouts, somebody to drop something in your hands, you will not be able to amount to much in life. But if you begin to become creative, to say, this is what I'm going to do, God will bring you more wealth into your hands. If you want to remain a beggar, that's what you're going to be for the rest of your life. But if you want God to upgrade you, you've got to go beyond just somebody handing up into your hand. There are some people who feel entitled that unless somebody gives to them, the person doesn't like them. Let me tell you something. God wants to bless you if only you can dare do something with your life. God wants to surprise those who think that they will always hand over to you. God can bless you if you can believe him and start doing something. Shout hallelujah. Now watch this. Anyone that gathereth by labor shall increase. Anyone that gathereth by what? Labor shall increase. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20. Proverbs 28, verse 20. What does it say? A faithful man shall abound with what? Blessing. Every time God gives you opportunity to do something, it's because he is counting you faithful. It's because he is counting you faithful. Because you remember when he gave talents to people, what he qualified those that did something, he said, you are a faithful servant. Every opportunity before you to do something is an opportunity to demonstrate faithfulness. Shahallelujah. And once you do something with faithfulness, you do it faithfully. Because sometimes when we do something, we just stop. Do it for one day, do it for 1 week, say it's hard. That's why some people can't retain a job. Just because somebody spoke to you hard, you leave the job. You need what is called faithfulness. Say faithfulness. You need to stay at it. Marriage requires faithfulness. Say faithfulness. There will be some friction initially. You realize that two of you are miles apart. But thank God you're gaining miles by closing up. Hallelujah. But it takes faithfulness, faithfully recognizing what God has said for it to work. If you think it's going to work in one day, it's not going to work. Marriage is not one day business. Say marriage is not one day business. So you've got to work at it. Today you feel high, like the Most High. The next day you feel like cussing the man up. So work at it. God ain't through with you yet. It requires faithfulness, faithfully working on it. The same thing with school. It requires faithfully attending classes. You can't go today and say, oh, this thing is hard, and you expect to succeed. You got to be faithful at it. Say faithful at it. He said, that's why I like ladies. Ladies are faithful in taking care of themselves. There's some hair that will take about some 4 hours, 8 hours. My wife can testify. Some hair can take 8 hours. Say 8 hours. Not a whole working day. You have to be faithful to stay there. Somebody working on your hair for 8 hours. You have to be a faithful person. You have to be faithful at it. If you are not faithful, you're going to run into trouble. Look at you and say, if you are not faithful, you run into trouble. A faithful man shall abound with blessing. But anyone that makes haste, you want it quick. You don't want to be faithful. You don't want to do the right things. You're going to be in trouble. You realize that if you want to break that financial stress, there's something God has been telling you to do which you have not been doing. And until you start doing it, you are not going to be out of that situation. Look at your neighbor and say, God will help you to start doing something he wants you to do with your life. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 1, 4, verse 23. Let's read together. What did it say? In all labor, there is what? In all labor, there is what? Look at your neighbor and say, there is profit waiting for you. God said, whatever you do, whatever you set your hand to do, I will bless. There is profit, there is profit, there is profit, there is profit. I declare that this month you will make some profit. I declare that you're making some profit this month. And you're going to come and testify and say, Pastor, I did something. Pastor, I did something. And God will bless you in that thing. Hallelujah. In all labor there is what? Profit. But what? The talk of the lips tended only to poverty. A lot of us are good. If you go to Woodford Square, say Woodford Square. How many of you have been to University of Woodford Square? That's where you have talkers. You don't find workers there, except on Labor Day or something. people just there talk big talk, while people driving past going to work, people going to offices to work, people sit there talk big talk. May God deliver you from talk. May God engage you with work. Shall hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. In all labor, there is what? Profit. But the talk of the lips is what brings poverty. God said there is blessing waiting for you. You got to do something. Do you know that just giving an advice, say an advice, will bring blessing to your life? If you give somebody a good advice and the person profits with it, the person is coming back to say thank you. Amen? Person coming back to say, look, you blessed my life. This is what I got. You blessed my life. Thank you for what you advised me. And that's why when you go for legal advice, it's not for free. Look at you and say, legal advice is not for free. You better understand that just getting your skill out there to help somebody else is going to generate a blessing in your life. I declare that God will remove you from the ground of grumbling, from the ground of complaining, from the ground of stress, to looking at what else I can do that will bring profit to me. If it requires diversification, you will do it. If it requires expansion, you will do it. If it requires a creative innovation, you will do it. If it requires doing something new you've never done, if it requires going where you've never gone, I declare from today you're stepping out of stress into your rest. Shout hallelujah. Shout glory, somebody. You're going to be faithful. Say, I will be faithful. I will be faithful. Because some of us are doing something unfaithfully. Say, unfaithfully. You are doing something, but you are not honest. Say, honest. Some of us are working, but we are not honest. We change the figures. Say, change the figures. If you came at 9 o'clock, you said, I came at 8 o'clock. Lie. And you want God to prosper you. God will not prosper you. You need to be faithful in whatever you're doing. And you need to do it well. If we say we're going to come early, amen? And if you have a problem of coming early, let people stretch forth hands towards you, amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me tell you, there's nothing wrong in you accepting responsibility to make a change. Hallelujah. Say, Lord, help me to make the required change I need this month so that I can enjoy your blessing. Help me to make that change. Help me to make that change. I will make that change. I will make that improvement. It's easy to complain about others, point accusing fingers. But no. The box starts and ends up with me. I need to do something about me so that God can improve me. Shout hallelujah. Say, Lord, thank you. Because there is improvement here. There is opportunity to do better here. I will do something. And you will bless it. In Jesus' name. Glory to God.
We hope that this message encouraged you. You can visit us at the corner of 7th Street and Jogi Road, Barataria, Trinidad and Tobago. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning services from 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. You can also join us for our Sunday and Wednesday prophetic anointing services from 6:30 p.m. Thank you for listening.